the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. In today's gospel, we have the calling of Nathanael to discipleship. This scene comes after the prologue to John's gospel, the Word made flesh, the testimony of John the Baptist that he is not the Messiah, but Jesus is, and the calling of the first disciples. And what comes after this scene is the wedding at Cana. We will see that Nathanael's encounter with Jesus reveals to us God's vision before Jesus officially begins his ministry at the wedding. The brief dialogue between Nathanael and Jesus is only 5 verses long, but it's enough to capture Nathanael's heart and imagination and clinch his resolve to believe and follow Jesus. To our modern ears, this dialogue is puzzling. What are they talking about? How does Nathanael go from skepticism that nothing good can come from Nazareth to proclaiming Jesus as the Son of God and King of Israel? It's because they're speaking in insider language. You know how when you and your spouse or a friend are out shopping or dining, and then you run into a colleague, and you and your colleague start excitedly chatting about work stuff with lots of technical jargon. And maybe you haven't looked over at your spouse or friend, but you can bet that their eyes are just glazing over because they're out of the loop. You and your colleague have a lot of work history together, background and shared knowledge, so you can speak in shorthand and understand each other completely. So us dropping into the scene of Nathanael's calling, we are actually the outsiders listening in on those who have shared Jewish history, culture, and faith. They can speak in shorthand by way of allusions, metaphors, and symbolism to express a lot of meaning. So that means we need to dig a little into the Old Testament in order to comprehend Nathanael's encounter with Jesus. Let's begin with Nathanael's interior orientation. He is skeptical that anything good can come out of Nazareth. And so Philip encourages him and says, "Come and see." And Nathanael takes him up on it. He's going to go and see for himself who this Jesus person is all about. And he'll be the judge of whether Jesus is the Messiah. I think we've all had this attitude, even multiple times a day. I'll be the judge of that. I'll decide for myself. I can see for myself. There's a sense of ego here. Upon seeing Nathanael, Jesus surprises him with a rhetorical statement. "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." This is a punny allusion to the ancestor Jacob, who is the father of the 12 tribes of Israel. If you remember, Jacob was given the name Israel back when he had wrestled with God in the book of Genesis, which took place the night before going out to meet his brother Esau, whom he had deceived out of an inheritance years before. Well, that's an awkward greeting. Is Jesus calling him deceitful or not deceitful? Is he calling Nathanael's integrity into question? How do you even respond to that? I imagine Nathanael's response is baffled. "And how do you know me?" After setting the scene with Israel's wayward turn in history, Jesus answers Nathanael with, "I saw you under the fig tree." Now, I want you to notice a shift here, a small but significant one. We began with a sense of Nathanael with an egocentric orientation, and Jesus shakes it up with an unexpected statement. Then Jesus follows that by saying another startling thing, "I saw you under the fig tree." Taking a closer look at the "I saw you" part, Jesus has shifted Nathanael's perspective from egocentric to a theocentric one, meaning centered around God. Without this shift, Nathanael would not be able to see the Son of God standing in front of him with his own ego blocking the view. To approach Jesus, we must shift our perspectives from egocentric to theocentric. To properly grasp and understand God's vision to Jesus' ministry, we need to see with a theocentric view. Jesus says, "I saw you." In other words, Jesus, the incarnate God, sees you and has already seen you. God, who is love, created humans in the image of God so that humans would know and love and be in everlasting communion with God. That is our purpose. That is our highest peace, security, prosperity, and joy. The heart of God is our home, and this is what Jesus reveals to us. You might not be aware of this, or forget this, or be distracted from this, but God sees you anyway. God knows who you are, God knows what you need, and God knows how to satisfy your deepest hunger and longing, because God created you in his image, and therefore God already knows you already. The psalmist expresses this reality with beautiful poetic imagery centered around God's view. God sees you with eyes of love because God is love. And with the eyes of love, God has searched the depth of your soul and knows your every moment, movement, even your thoughts before they even reach your lips. God loves every bit of who you are. Even if you hide behind the thick walls of your ego, you are not hidden from God, for God looks at his creation with love. Your weaknesses are not weaknesses to God, but opportunities for God to show you his strength. Your faults and failures are not condemned, but a chance for God to show you his forgiveness and mercy. Your broken heart won't stay that way because God is dying to show you his compassion and salvific power. This is how God sees you. Now onto the fig tree. Fig trees are very commonplace in the region as a source of sweet fruit and shade. So Nathanael very well may have been sitting under a fig tree to study the Torah or to pray. But the fig tree is also rich in symbolic meaning. It is one of the most frequently mentioned fruits in the Bible, and it symbolizes promise and blessing of the land, peace, security, prosperity, life, and fertility. The phrase under the fig tree is a motif that is usually coupled with the vine, as in sitting under the vines and the fig tree. It's an ancient Hebrew blessing and a prophetic vision of God bringing his people from brokenness to wholeness, and is found in a few key places in the Old Testament. The vine, of course, symbolizes life, fecundity, and abundance, and the wine made from the vine symbolizes fertility, vitality, hospitality, and gladness. Therefore, the imagery of sitting under the vine and fig tree paints an agrarian and idyllic picture of deep peace, gladness, prosperity, and security, a place of retreat and restoration. How many of you have longed for this? Don't we all have this longing to live simply, to feel completely at peace, not a single worry to harass you, and not being afraid that this won't last, or there's not enough, or you'll never achieve it? Nathanael and the Jewish people have longed deeply for this too, for the restoration of Israel, to bring it back to its former glory. And the author of 2 Kings noted that Israel had lived in peace, prosperity, and safety during the reign of King Solomon, saying, "All of them under their vines and fig trees." The vine and fig tree motif also points to the prophet Micah, at the time when Israel was being invaded and could not save itself, and then exiled on account of their sin of turning away from God, Micah prophesied that a day will come when all peoples will walk in the name of the Lord, and they shall sit under their own vines and under their own fig trees, and no one shall make them afraid. Therefore, saying, I saw you under the fig tree, is a nod to this promise of deep peace, prosperity, security, and gladness. However, if we simply view this promise from an egocentric view, we will fall short of seeing God's vision of us and for us. Instead of Israel being a light to all nations, it will be each nation vying for security and prosperity against another, where peace is won with violence, and where gladness comes at the expense of another's suffering. In other words, striving for the peace that the world cannot give. Instead, Jesus invites Nathanael to shift to a theocentric view so he can see the expansiveness of God's love in his promise, where the tools of war will be transformed into tools for cultivating the earth so that all peoples may sit under the vines and fig trees to enjoy God and bask in his love. This is the peace that only God can give. And Jesus already sees Nathanael there. Jesus already sees you, along with the apostles and all the saints, sitting under the vines and the fig trees of the kingdom of God. We are all sitting together, all nations, all races, all socioeconomic ranks, whatever divides fading away, and we sit together in peace and gladness and in communion with God. This is the vision of Jesus' ministry. This brief encounter with Jesus is enough to touch and transform Nathanael's heart for ministry. Jesus' vision resonated to the core of Nathanael's being, and all he could do then in that moment is confess Jesus as the Son of God and King of Israel. Nathanael is all in. With a little tweak of perspective to see God's vision more clearly, we can finally see that the ladder in Jacob's dream is revealed to be Jesus, where the angels are descending and ascending upon the Son of Man. Like construction workers going up and down ladders, doing the work of building out the architect's vision. Jesus is the link between heaven and earth, through which the kingdom of God will be built. And holding on to this vision, Nathanael is emboldened to step into the vocation of love right alongside Jesus. So the calling of Nathanael invites you today to ponder how this vision resonates with your heart and emboldens you for ministry. Amen.